eliminate emotional and physical obstacles so they can optimize their life for higher achievement. Welcome. You have just entered the Genesis Zone.
Good day, good day, good day, and welcome to the Genesis Zone Show. This is Dr. Brian Brown. Thank you for taking time out of your busy Thursday to join us. When you hear the word anti-aging, what do you think about? Do you think about the fountain of youth or miracles, or do you think about impossibility? In today's episode, we will explore two recent studies that may help answer these questions, especially as it relates to vitamin D and how vitamin D might just be the fountain of youth you're looking for. Over the years, I've come to both love and dislike the word anti-aging. Does it even exist? Does anti-aging even exist? I mean, sure, the concept of anti-aging is a cool concept, and it's a cool concept to ponder, but can we really anti-age? I mean, philosophically, by the mere existence of time itself, everything is progressing along the timeline. Therefore, everything is aging. And whether we want to admit it or not, that includes you and me. You know, we can't really stop the process of time. We can't stop the process of aging. So when I hear people throw around the term anti-aging, there are many hidden meanings, such as, I just want to feel good for as long as I possibly can, or I want to be well, free of illness, free of sickness for as long as I possibly can, or I want to age gracefully. I hear that one a lot. And lastly, I want to slow the process of aging down to a snail's pace. You see, what it all boils down to is this. Most of us, at its root, we're talking about prevention. So wouldn't it be better to say preventive aging instead of anti-aging? There are thousands of measures that can be taken that would fall into the preventive aging category. But the one that we're going to focus on today and talk about, it has to do with what I call sunshine in a bottle, or vitamin D3. Notice that I said vitamin D3. There are a lot of other products as far as supplementation on the market that would be vitamin D2. Your body still has to convert that. So if you're going to take a vitamin D supplement, we'll talk more about that in a minute, you need to make sure that it says vitamin D3. This is a pretty timely topic, I feel like, because daylight savings time literally just ended and our days are significantly shorter. So we're just not getting enough sunlight exposure. Now, this brings us to an important point. Where do we get vitamin D3 from? Well, there are three places that you get vitamin D3 from. One is your food, foods such as certain types of fish, beef liver, eggs, enriched foods. And these are processed foods that have been enriched with vitamin D, especially bread products. They're definitely fortified with vitamin D3, just to name a few. And then there's supplementation. There are various different supplements. Like I said, some are vitamin D2, some are vitamin D3. If you're going to take a supplement, you need to take vitamin D3. And then there's sunlight. Sunlight is probably the best place to get your vitamin D3 from. So let's spend a minute on the production of vitamin D3 through sunlight. The process, in just a short nutshell version, is this. When UVB or ultraviolet B waves beam down from the sun and stimulate your skin, they interact with cholesterol. Yeah, you heard that right. They interact with cholesterol. And I know cholesterol gets vilified. It's this bad thing that you can't have too much of, blah, blah, blah. The American Heart Association keeps lowering the standards and wants us to have lower and lower and lower cholesterol. I personally think there's an agenda there to sell more statin medications. That's a conversation for another day. But the bottom line is that these UVB rays interact with the cholesterol in your skin. and subsequently interact with a protein called 7-DHC. And this ends up producing vitamin D3, which is the usable form of your vitamin. Now, while we're on the subject of cholesterol, you need to know this, and this is critically important. Vitamin D3 really isn't a vitamin at all. It's not a vitamin. It's a hormone. Your hormones are produced from the cholesterol in your body. And when our cholesterol is too low, guess what? We don't produce enough hormone. And the same holds true for vitamin D3. It's a hormone like any other. And when cholesterol is too low, we don't produce enough of it. But more on that just in a second. There's also a gene SNP called the VDR TAC. That's V as in Victor, D as in David, R as in Robert, TAC, T-A-Q, VDR TAC gene, which is responsible for most of the reactions at the skin surface. Most every cell in the body has the VDR TAC gene SNP. Some of us have really healthy VDR TAC gene SNPs, meaning we don't have any problems with the conversion from sunlight. And then some of us have really poor VDR TAC gene SNPs. So let's break this down. If you have low exposure to sunlight, then you're going to have no or at least very little D3 production. If you have an abnormal VDR TAC gene, then you're going to have no or very little vitamin D3 production. If you take a cholesterol medication and your cholesterol levels are too low, guess what? You're going to have no or very little vitamin D3 production. If you have low dietary intake of vitamin D3 rich foods, or you've got gut health that's just out of balance, maybe you've got leaky gut, maybe you've got a lot of inflammation going on in your gut from medical conditions and things like that, or maybe the bacteria in your gut are just out of balance, then you're probably not going to absorb that vitamin D in your diet very well. And therefore, your levels are going to be low. In short, there's numerous factors that can come into play with vitamin D production, vitamin D conversion, and vitamin D absorption. Now, you may be asking, well, how important is vitamin D really? And that's a great question. Most everyone knows that vitamin T makes strong bones. We've been told that ever since our childhood. That's one of the reasons we drink milk, which is fortified with vitamin D3, to make strong bones. But without going into too much detail, vitamin D3 is so much more than that. It's actually a powerhouse hormone, and it's responsible for over 200 metabolic processes within various cells and systems throughout the body. Did you hear that? Vitamin D3 is responsible for over 200 metabolic processes all throughout the body. Now, I've had people come to see me initially who had symptoms, who had low vitamin D, and they had symptoms of associated with depression and anxiety and poor sleep and poor concentration and focus, poor brain fog and low energy, things like that. And when their vitamin D levels came up to optimal levels, all those symptoms went away. Now, in my opinion, vitamin D3 is critically important to overall health, but not just overall health, but overall well-being. If you want to feel good, you ought to make sure, you owe it to yourself to make sure your vitamin D3 levels are at a really great optimal place. Now, here's a bit of a caveat or a disclaimer, if you will. Vitamin D3 is a fat-soluble hormone, and before taking doses of vitamin D3 that are just kind of willy-nilly, kind of crazy doses, you ought to check with a functional medicine provider who can look at your blood levels very objectively and give you an honest assessment of what's going on in your body and about how much vitamin D they think you might need. All that being said, I rarely meet a client who doesn't need vitamin D3 supplementation. We simply don't eat enough vitamin D3 rich foods, nor do we get enough sunlight exposure because we work inside most of the time. And add to that the high numbers of people with irregularities in that gene SNP that I was telling you about, and you got the perfect storm for extremely low vitamin D. Most of the times I see vitamin D levels in the 20s, which is extremely low. and the teens, like 13, 14, 15, and the single digits. It's not uncommon to see vitamin D levels in the single digits. To kind of give you some perspective, from a functional medicine standpoint, we should have the vitamin D level at least at around 70, 75 in order to functionally support the body the way it should be supported. So now on, now let's move on to today's studies related to this topic of vitamin D. In a study that was published just 2 weeks ago in the Annals of Internal Medicine, researchers reported that out of 300,000, just over 300,000 participants who had known genetic deficiencies, and they actually checked their genetics in this particular study, those that had genetic deficiencies for vitamin D3, as well as vitamin D3 levels below 50, were more likely to die from cancer, cardiovascular disease, and respiratory illnesses. In other words, poor genetics for vitamin D absorption, conversion, and production within the body was highly predictive of shorter lifespan. In fact, their risk of early death was 25% greater than those who had normal gene expression for vitamin D3. Now, does that mean if you have the VDR tag gene, you're going to up and die all of a sudden of cancer or cardiovascular disease or respiratory illness? It doesn't necessarily mean that, but there's some really good data that's been out of South Korea for years that just on the respiratory illness side alone, and we're moving into influenza season, you see a great protective effect when you see those vitamin D levels cross that 50 threshold on the blood concentration levels. So once they go over 50, your risk for actually getting influenza, or if you do get it, for having a less severe case is significantly better. So let's move on to the second study. In the second study, which is a pre-publication release that's due to come out in December next month in the journal Psychiatry Research and Neuroimaging, researchers found that among just over 1,800 study participants, those who had low vitamin D3 levels below 50, a serum concentration of 50, had accelerated brain aging as measured by shrinkage in the total brain volume size. So the brain was shrinking and the gray matter specifically was shrinking. Now, if you're not familiar with what gray matter in the brain is, gray matter is critically important. It controls your movement, it controls your memory, and it controls your emotions. So gray matter is critically important. But think about it. When someone develops a dementia-type problem, they start having issues with memory and movement and emotions. So are we setting people up for failure in their brain health, setting them up for atrophy or shrinkage of the brain, and are we setting them up for dementia-type processes? The research actually shows that, yes, there is a correlation between those who develop dementia, especially those who develop early dementia, and lower vitamin D3 levels. So what do we do with this information? It would be easy to say, hey, if we take vitamin D3, we're going to prevent cardiovascular disease and cancer and those types of things. I have to be honest with you. I think it's a good measure to assume that, but there have been no studies that have said, hey, we're going to give this one group of people placebo pill, meaning sugar pill, and we're going to give this other group vitamin D3. And then we're going to follow them over the course of their lifetime and see who develops cardiovascular disease and see who develops cancer and respiratory illnesses and so on, and brain shrinkage and the whole nine yards. And quite honestly, that type of study would be inhumane, because what you're going to see more than likely is you're going to see the group with that's taking the vitamin D3. They're going to do so much better than the group that's not. They would end the study early and they would put the people who weren't on anything, that they were on just the placebo, they would put them into the vitamin D group. That's probably what would happen. There've been no studies done to that effect because they're long-term studies. And quite frankly, they're are really questionable as far as how humane they are, because you wouldn't want to subject somebody to harm. So I think you can take from these studies that it's safe to say that if we have our vitamin D levels higher than a serum concentration, a blood concentration of 50, then you're probably going to do pretty well with regard to avoiding those things that we've just talked about. So is vitamin D3 the fountain of youth? I'm going to leave that for you to decide. I think it's pretty critically important, if you ask me, as far as being able or needing to add this to our health regimen and being on top of it. I check my vitamin D3 levels on a regular basis because I want to make sure that they're right where they need to be, optimally at least 75 and above. And again, talk to a functional medicine professional and they'll be able to help you through that. And I don't want to harp too much on a functional medicine professional when it comes to vitamin D, but a lot of times in traditional medicine, the way we were trained when we went through our training, we're not taught much about vitamin D3 and the level that it should be. So nothing against any general practitioner or even a specialist that's out there that's practicing traditional medicine. Sometimes you just don't know what you don't know, and you have to go with what the laboratory report says. And if it says it's fine, not necessarily because a laboratory report will say that a level of 30 is okay. And a level of 30 is not okay from a functional standpoint. So you just need to know that. So if you've been told that your vitamin D level was quote unquote normal, it may not be optimal from a functional medicine standpoint. And these two studies clearly show that we need to have those vitamin D3 levels above 50. So if you're wanting to explore more the genetic side and understand whether or not you have that VDR-TAC gene, as well as a host of other genes that are involved in the aging process, and you're just curious about it, reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Brian G. Brown. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. If you're kind of that curious self-starter type person and you want to kind of go at it alone, you're curious about the genetics, but you just want to study it on your own before you reach out, hey, that's fine too. I created a really quick masterclass called the Gene Hack Bootcamp. It's short, it's self-paced. You can go through it at your own speed, and it'll answer a lot of questions about genetics and what we're doing to treat the whole person from a genetic standpoint. So if you're curious about that, registration is totally free. Go to drbriangbrown.com/genehack/bootcamp, and you can register for free. Tune in next Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time for our next In the Zone segment, where I'll be sharing the latest research, my latest research that I'm digging up because I'm constantly looking at this stuff. I geek out on this stuff. I'll be sharing that research and my insights about that research as it relates to optimizing your physical and emotional wellness journey. Most informed, most trusted, and most grateful you spent this time with us today. Until next time, stay in the zone. I'm Dr. Brian Brown.